Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. As always, you are welcome to participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You can also participate through our website. That is empoweredlivingradio.com, empoweredlivingradio.com. You know that on empoweredlivingradio.com, we have every single show we have ever done. Every guest we have ever spoken with is available 100% free on that site. You can download it. You can listen. You can save it to your computer. Throw it on your audio player. You could also get our shows from iTunes. It's a little bit more broken up on iTunes because we've had different platforms. So it's a little more broken up on iTunes. But you can still get them, every single one we've ever done, on iTunes as well. But on our empoweredlivingradio.com, you can download, you can listen, whatever you'd like. The only thing I ask, it's 100% free. We didn't even ask for your email address. The only thing that I ask is that you share. We've had some incredible authors. Aside from incredible authors, we've had great conversations, little seminars, ideas that we've shared on here, and it's some of the most listened to. Shows are the ones that we don't have any guests. So my point is there's some great stuff on there. So make sure that you listen and you share. Let somebody know. It's nothing to share a link in an email or on your one of your statuses or something like that. So share. I want to say hello to the Better Today community. Let's keep doing what we're doing. Let's never forget that power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. I said one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. It is incredible what can be done as we embrace and share in the power of one. It's about this whole experience of life as I'm realizing more and more every day. It's really about getting out of your own way, getting out of your own way. It's and our guest today, we're having a little trouble getting Christina Rilo on the show, so she's going to be our guest today, hopefully to speak to us about being hard on ourselves. And Christina Rilo, along with her co-founder of their Inner Mean Girl Reform School, Amy Ehlers. Amy's been on. She wrote the Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves, and it really empowered women who are doing a lot to help empower other women and their take on it and the world that they've kind of built on this is this inner mean girl, the inner mean guy or mean dude, if you're a guy. And it's really kind of what I'm talking about right now is I'm recognizing it's a process of getting out of your own way. you know, you want something and it's easy to fall back and say, well, I wish things were like this. If things were like this, then if, and we forget that we are that catalyst. We are that point of origin, that we can bring that to fruition. And we are, in fact, the only ones who can. The only ones who can bring that into fruition. So I think that it's a beautiful thing when we recognize this power of one, when we recognize that, no, it doesn't have to be the 100th monkey right away. That 100th monkey, which is the tilting point of something going into the mainstream of consciousness and action, it, no matter what it is, it starts with one person. You know, slavery came to an end. It started with one person, one idea, one action, and it built into something that built into the cosmic, if you want to say, consciousness, this universal consciousness that we tap into, and it inspired other people. This is taking action. This is moving towards something. Women having a right to vote. I mean, that again happened. One person inspired enough to hold a little meeting to inspire others. Whatever it is, just understand that it is an action and it comes from one person. By the time you see it on TV, by the time you read about it in the paper, by the time you hear about it in a myth, it is gained the masses. But don't ever forget that it started with a spark, one person. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Why don't you become that spark today? Why don't you engage in life? Don't just become a philosopher. Don't just speak about it. Don't just wish it. Don't just dream it. Engage in it. Engage in it. Get out there and engage in life. Get out there and engage in your own life. If Christine O'Reilly, if we can't get Christine on, we're going to continue on this show. I want your feedback. I want your feedback where you feel that you've gotten in your own way, where you feel that you get in your own way. What are the voices telling you? I always think of Tom and Jerry because why wouldn't I think of Tom and Jerry? I'm telling you, the more – I've said this before. It doesn't matter how educated you become. Some of the most powerful visuals and knowledge I've attained is when I was a kid. So I visualize whenever I might hear Christine or Amy Ehlers talk about the inner mean girl, and we hear negative self-talk. We hear it explained in many, many different ways. And of course, I picture Tom and Jerry. So remember the Tom and Jerry cartoon? And he'd have like a little devil on one shoulder and then the little saint on the other shoulder, and they'd be whispering. And that's what they're talking about. That's the things that you negative self-talk and you're beating yourself up and it could cause the over-analysis and all that stuff. As I get further in my academics, as I understood further in my academics, and even now as I continue my academics in the study of neuroscience and understanding neuropsychology to the best of anyone's ability to understand. And I'm realizing that while I'm still learning that, yeah, you know what, it turns out that our bodies, we are actually walking expressions. We are walking expressions of our genetic history as it expresses itself through our environment. So as I'm learning this, and there's some incredibly technical things happen, it turns out that these genetics, these genes, really influence you and send signals, and just as you turn genes on and turn genes off, and we're talking specific genes, like you are, imagine a big system of switches. And this switch, you know, your controls, the way that your brain works and your genetic code and how it interacts with the neurons in your brain and how it all combines, it's so much easier for me to just explain it as imagine you see a big panel with a bunch of switches on it, kind of like your electric panel in your home. And, you know, your electric panel might say living room, and you flip that off and it turns off the power to the living room. And one might say, you know, backyard shed, and you turn off it. So you can actually turn off certain areas of your home imagine a huge switchboard like that that deals with you, 100% you. And some people have those switches, and it goes from everywhere, from color of the eyes. Well, you know, blue is switched off for me. that switch is off. All of these things, genetic things, your genetic genes that are likely to bring on some obesity or disease. Some people have them switched on. Some people have them switched off. But what's true about this is that with those switches, with those connections, when those genes are switched on, they want to express. So if you've had ancestors in the past, let's say, that have always been unhealthy eaters and not really concerned with their weight or with their lifestyle and their health or lifestyle, then those genes are probably turned on. The genes that lead towards those things like obesity and the tendency to live unhealthily. So if all those are on, and you're starting to become one of the first in your lineage, you're the first one that's saying, that's it, my parents were overweight, or my parents never really cared about health, and their parents might not have, and I don't know their parents and their parents and their parents, but I know that in my family, I'm one of the first ones that's going to be healthy, I'm going to start. You actually have your entire lineage of switches on fighting that. So if you're going to be the first one to try and get that switch to turn off, just know that you are going to fight that, so that you're going to have that inner talk that's going to say, come on, just one more muffin. Come on, just one more. Because you are actually, well, I know while you're you and you look in the mirror and you only see you, you are actually a culmination of all the decisions of your ancestors. It's fascinating how this works. There's actually an entire debate about this. They're debating whether free will actually exists. That's an actual debate in the neuroscientific community. Isn't that incredible? For you guys, would probably be bored as hell, but for me, that's like nerd-a-palooza for me. That's like nerd porn for me. Listen to a conversation on neurophilosophers, neuroscientists, and theologians, and all these people arguing about, is there free will? And the scientists saying, well, this is why we think there isn't free will. And the theologian, oh, to me, that's like porn. I love that stuff. Most of you might be bored out of your mind, but for me, that's amazing, because we're learning so much about how things work. And yes, why can't I get out of my way? You know, I started a whole, I don't think I talked about this at all, or maybe I talked about it slightly. I've started an entire new academic field of research. It's something that I was curious about, and as I learned and studied the neuroscience, some of the science of thought and science of psychology, neuropsychology, getting beyond just basic psychology, and of course I'm a student of and have a degree in psychology as it is, but getting beyond that into the neuropsychology, what's new now? And as I was doing that, I said, wow, there's an actual disconnect between neuropsychology, why you think the way you think, what's happening in your brain that influences the way you actually think, and actualization, which is what we've been talking about for years, making things happen. You are the point of origin. You are more than just the dreamer. The things that you hear me saying, that's actualization. That's bringing something out of your mind, a dream, a wish, a hope, a goal, and making it real. That's called actualization. When you make it real, it's called actualization. So I thought, well, as I'm learning more about neuroscience and neuropsychology, I know plenty about actualization, but there is a cutoff. We know that there's a cutoff. Why are we ignoring that there's a cutoff? We know that people want to do something. They visualize it. They want it. If you put up a lie detector test and said, hey, obese person, do you want to be healthier? Yes, they'll pass that test. Hey, obese person, do you know how to be healthier? Yes, do you really want to be healthier? They will cry to you with the passion that they want to be healthier, and they will pass that lie detector. There's a sincere feeling they're having, and then they will go and not do it. And I'm fascinated by that, for seeing it for years and years and getting those emails. Steve, I want this. I want this. I feel it. I want it. I want it. I tried this book and that book and this seminar and that seminar. Why aren't I do it? Please, why? So, of course, you can talk them and rah, 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 and they'll do it for a little while, but they'll always be fighting. There'll always be that disconnect, and I really want to study why. And there is no field of study for that. There is no field of study. You know, the science world doesn't really deal much with the philosophical world. It really doesn't deal much with that. They are very separate. You find, you know how after the terrorist attacks in New York City, they said one of the big issues was that we had the CIA, we have the FBI, we have all these, you know, the police agencies, and they all are good at what they do. But the problem was they weren't really talking to each other. They're very proprietary. So the CIA doesn't really want to mingle much with the FBI. The FBI doesn't really want to mingle much with the local jurisdictions and blah, blah, blah. And you'd find that there were separate entities that were so into themselves that they weren't communicating to each other. And that breakdown of communication caused a breakdown of information flow. I found that as I delved into more academia of the mind, I found that that's the same thing that happens. You have, first of all, financial cutoffs. There are organizations, and the organizations that are studying these things are fighting for everybody's money. So they're not sharing with each other. They're fighting for each other's money. The people who run the organizations and the scientists and neuroscientists and doctors and that kind of stuff who are behind it, they don't want to share that they're also fighting for their own job security. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why they don't talk to each other. Certain scientists don't talk to each other. It's all individual studies and groups and these kinds of things. And it's kind of weird, similar to that breakdown of communication that we've heard so much about in the law enforcement and investigative field. Well, that exists in science. So as I looked into this, I said, it's so crazy to me that you guys don't talk to each other. You guys are both doing great things, but you don't talk to each other because there's finances, accreditation. I mean, there's so many reasons why. So, of course, I said, I'm going to bridge that. I'm going to fix that. I'm not fighting for people that give me money. I'm not fighting for this. I have no interest other than learning. I want to learn this, and I want to learn it so well that I could share it with others. And so I created a whole new field called the psychoneuroactualization, and that'll bridge the neuropsychology of goals and intention and what you want and who you feel you are. And the actualization part, how do we bridge that? How do we make that a seamless flow? Not just with motivational rants, not with just inspirational words, not with just picture quotes and poetry, not with just that, but with actual science so it can be repeated time and time again. So in that field, we're finding that, yeah, you know what, you will have this inner negative self-talk. You will have this self-talk, and it will be something for you to deal with. It'll be something for you to deal with. It will always be something for you to deal with. The question is, how do you deal with it? How do you negotiate? How do you navigate through it? How do you navigate through the self-talk? How do you navigate through something that everybody experiences? And people have different ways of creating a story behind it. They have different ways of creating a way to cope with and deal with. The most important part is becoming aware of it. Because once you become aware of it, then you could take action towards it. And the action is refining the way you think. The action is the analysis of what's helpful, what's poisonous, what's nourishing, what's simple criticism as to nasty negative self-talk. A lot of the things that you will say to yourself, if somebody else said them, you punch them right in the face. Or if you were more civilized than I am, perhaps you wouldn't punch them in the face, but you wouldn't be friends with them anymore. You wouldn't speak to them anymore. There are different levels of this talk that, again, it is part of our experience. The question is, how do you roll with this talk? And I think I see Christina Rilo's number on there, so I'm gonna give it a gamble. I want to Christina Rilo is a best-selling author of Choosing Me Before We. You know, we've had her on before. She's a fantastic guest. She's a catalyst and a spiritual coach, and of course the self-love author of Choosing Me Before We. She's been dubbed the queen of self-love. She's always fun to have on the show. It's always an honor. Christina Rilo, is that you?
This is me, Steve. My inner mean girl tried. My inner mean girl tried to sabotage the call today. She put me on the schedule for Pacific time instead of Eastern time.
I was talking about it. I went on speaking, but this is such an important conversation to have because it's something relevant to everybody. And I was telling them that once you recognize that this is a bullying, an internal bullying that can happen, and once you recognize that this could actually be poisonous to your well-being, physically and emotionally, undoubtedly, it could be a hindrance and a stumbling block. Once you recognize it, however, you can then take steps to adjust, make that adjustment you need. And this is something you found not only in your life, but as you've been coaching this and starting these programs, you're realizing more and more that it is something universal, and it's something that we can definitely deal with.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of amazing and sad all at the same time, Steve. I have talked to over probably 15,000 women now in the last couple of years that have gone through one of our Inner Mean Girl Reform School programs, and it doesn't matter how old they are, how young they are, what color they are, how much money they have, where they come from, what their education is, across the board, and it's for men too. It's for men and for women. My husband teaches inner bully school, so he helps the men, and I help the women. And what we found is that everyone has this negative self-sabotaging self-talk that goes on. It's just that we're not talking about it. Right, so we think that we're the only ones that are comparing ourselves, judging ourselves, setting unrealistic expectations, driving ourselves to perfection, saying, you know, crazy things. My partner at Inner Mean Girl Reform School, Amy Ehlers, calls them big fat lies. And those things like, you should be doing more. Look at all she's doing. You're never going to make it. Don't even bother. You're going to fail. And when we're not aware, as you're saying, that this voice is not us, it's driving us. And as soon as you get to, you can realize that this voice is not you, this negative self-talk is not you, you can actually start to transform it.
And as you start to transform it, so you can, it probably serves a few actual purposes. First, you could use it as a gauge. You could use it as a gauge and recognize how abusive you actually are to yourself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we could all see how awful we are to ourselves and how much we beat ourselves up, I swear we'd all be calling, we'd all be calling 911 or you know, some kind of services on us, because we all have these black and blue marks. And, you know, we're constantly beating ourselves up emotionally, and it has a big toll. I remember I was just actually with my goddess children. I have two little goddaughters in Chicago. Steve and I was with them. I go out every year to see them for their birthdays, and one just turned 9 and the other one's 8. And we've been talking about this inner mean girl for the last couple of years. And so when I get there to Chicago a couple months ago, Lucy, the oldest, says, Aunt Christina Rilo, she's like, can you have an inner mean girl become an outer inner mean girl? And I'm like, absolutely you can. And just a few days before that, I had been to a talent show where I saw her outer inner mean girl basically diminish her light, diminish her skill, make her feel less than so that she could feel better than, because, you know, kids do this. We do this as adults.
Sure.
And in that moment, Steve, because I had the ability to talk about the inner mean girl, and because Lucy had the ability to talk about the inner mean girl, we were able to have a conversation about how this voice that was comparing her to this other little girl, or that had, you know, kind of manifested this little girl who's often mean to her, was able to say, okay, what do you need, Lucy, to feel good about yourself? And so I taught her what I call a superpower tool. And so in that moment, this is something we talk about at Inner Mean Girl Reform School, about how to turn your inner mean girl into your inner superheroine. So Lucy, I said, when that inner mean girl shows up, and that outer inner mean girl in the form of this little girl named Tabitha shows up, what do you need to say to yourself? And Lucy closed her eyes. She put her hand on her heart, and she said, I am smart. I am small. I am beautiful. And I am funny. And I had her say that to herself three times, and it became her self-love tic-tac. So now every time that outer inner mean girl shows up, Tabitha, and tries to, you know, bully her because she has her own inner mean girl, Lucy has this technique to actually, the superpower technique, to find that place of self-love versus self-sabotage and self-hate.
And you make a great point in the story, because we are constantly setting the standard for ourselves internally and externally. So if you, if your inner mean girl is beating you up, if your inner mean girl is treating you, is not treating you respectfully, is not being kind to you, courteous, loving, forgiving, then chances are that's going to be the standard you set on outside. And you will at that point become that bully magnet, that poison relationship magnet that you're thinking is coming from the outside, but it's actually being drawn in from that inner mean girl that you're not paying attention to.
Oh, yeah. Every relationship that we have is a direct reflection of the relationship that we have with ourselves. And it's much easier, you know, even like right now, if you just took your finger and you started wagging it, you know, out there, you know, and just think of all the people that you judge, people that piss you off, and all the ways that you are looking at people for what they're doing wrong, and just like take your finger and like wag it out there. We all know that energy, right? We all know that. Now, turn that finger around and point it at yourself. And it's like you almost have a gun pointed at yourself, because you do. Hmm. The gun is loaded with toxic things like comparison and self-judgment. And that has an impact on you. You know, the thing that's really, you know, if we just take this up a level deeper, Steve, if we go a level deeper here, to really get into the emotional scarring that this does. You know, one of the gifts that I have as a transformational teacher is I can take very deep things and make them fun and accessible, which is how Inner Mean Girl Reform School came to be, because it's a lot easier to talk about your inner mean girl and your inner bully if you're a man, and personify them, and we give them names, and we actually help you draw pictures of them, and you know it makes it fun. But underneath all of that is like severe, like, you know, self-hate, self-abuse, self-doubt, all the things that are tearing apart our self-love, our self-esteem, our self-honor, our self-worth. And in my own experience of this, when I found my comparison queen, whose name is, by the way, Mean Patty, Steve.
Mean Patty.
She has red hair. She wears a smock. And she has big rulers that love to measure me against people that have gone farther, quote unquote, in their career than me. So, like, when I first came out with Choosing Me Before We, my first book, she's like, well, you know, Christine, it's great that you got a publishing contract and all, because, you know, that's great and all. But, you know, you've never been on TV before, and you don't really have the money to hire a publicist. And Barbara has a couch, and Oprah has a network. What the hell was wrong with you? Like, what have you been doing all your life?
Right.
Wow. And it was like, yeah, I froze. You know, I froze, and I started procrastinating. I started spending money that I didn't need to have. And I started seeing all the ways in which I wasn't enough, because I was comparing myself to the outside. And what I realized is, this was about 3 months into after actually I got my book proposal. So that happened in November. It happened in October. I celebrated for 2 weeks, had a party, got a dress, did the whole thing, and then Mean Patty showed up out of the blue, showed up. And for weeks, like, this is going on, Steve. I mean, it's like, it's just, it's awful. And I'm like having anxiety. I'm stressed out. I'm spinning, you know how that do that spin thing when you're in the anxious fear place? It was fear. It was all about fear. So your inner mean girl, your inner bully, is like the Halloween costume for fear.
And you had come from a place where, you know, choosing, if you folks check out the Choosing Me Before a Week, Christine's got a great story, and you had come from a place, so where you came from to writing Choosing Me Before We, you were raising levels in your life, levels of success, and as we know, Christine, new levels brings new devils. And
oh, I love that. That's exactly it.
Yeah, and hello,
awesome.
Patty, and here comes Patty, and so yeah, I mean, that's something that's a powerful experience that many people have.
Well, and you're so, I love that. Can we quote you on that, Steve? That's awesome. When you bring new levels, bring new devils. We're about all that. And quote you, I didn't mean girl reform school, because that's perfect. Because exactly what happens is that when you are going to new levels in your life, that's when your mean girls and your bullies show up. I mean, you can be like, for me, I went through most of my life without any mean girls showing up. And it wasn't until I left my corporate safety job and went out on my own, and then here I am writing this book, Choosing Me Before We, which is all about my own journey through self-love, through relationship, and how I didn't choose myself, and how I chose this love from this other person for 15 years, and really going out in a big way and telling the truth. And I was setting myself up for all kinds of rejection, really, right? And I was setting myself up to the public. That's what happens. And my mean girls, they are more afraid of rejection than anything else. And so that's the interesting thing about your mean girl or your inner bully, is what it's trying to do is it's actually trying to protect you. See, every single one of us at some point in our life had what I call a love crack, which is where your basic trust that everything was going to be okay, it was going to be good, and that everything and the whole world was full of love was violated in some way. Right. It could have been an outer bully. It could have been a parent. It could have been, you know, there's a gazillion things. It happens to all of us. It's part of being a human on this planet for right now, which is just kind of how it is. And when that love crack happens, your heart opens, like, and a fissure gets created, and fear comes in. And so in that moment when fear comes in and you believe in fear over love, what happens is your inner mean girl or your inner bully gets created, because it sends a message to you. And it says, don't do that. There's danger there, right? So your inner mean girl or bully, they think that their job is to protect you, because for some time they needed to. Like my comparison queen, if I didn't have my comparison queen growing up, I would still probably be living in the south side of Chicago in a nice little house, you know, kind of living the life of all my friends who are, you know, they're good people, but they're just, they don't really have any ambition. They're not ambitious people. Right. They're not people that are into any kind of, they're not, none of them are aware. They're not awake. Right. They're just, you know, I would have stayed asleep. And so my comparison queen, she really, with my achievement junkie, I have another one. Her name is Oof the Bar Belinda, and she's my achievement junkie. And she's the one, when she was working for me, always kept me striving to do more. Like, none of my family went to college. I went to college. None of my friends went to college. I went to college. Nobody I knew got an advanced degree. I'm like, I'm going to go to Northwestern. You know, and it was that constant, you know, and climbing up the corporate ladder and all of that so served me. And then it didn't. Right? And then it didn't. Then my achievement junkie was really a junkie, and I couldn't stop achieving, and my whole self-worth became tied to whether I was achieving or not. And that's a dangerous, awful, stressful place to live.
It is absolutely. And folks, this brilliant woman you're listening to is Christina Rylo. She is the best-selling author of Choosing Me Before We. Also, if you're interested in hearing or understanding more about the Inner Mean Girl Reform School, check out innermeangirl.com. Also, chooseselflove.com. We're going to take a quick break. I'm so glad we got Christine on, you see. She's got infectious enthusiasm, and I love it. So make sure, if you're listening through our website, just click on Christine's name. It'll take you right to her website. It doesn't interfere with the show at all, so you can browse through their websites while you listen to this brilliant woman speak. We're going to take a quick break. When I get back, we're going to talk some more with Christine. I'll take some of your feedback. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. Don't move.
Believe this, but you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's gonna be the best kid in the world. This kid's gonna be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching you. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame. like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son. You're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't going to have a life. Don't forget to visit your mother.
Nossa, nossa, assim você me mata. Ai, se eu te pego, ai, ai, se eu te pego, ai. Delícia, delícia, assim você me mata. Ai, se eu te pego, ai, ai, se eu te pego, hein? Sábado na balada, a galera começou a dançar e passou a menina mais linda. Tomei coragem e comecei a falar. Como é que é, vai? Nossa, nossa, assim você me mata. Ai, se eu te pego, ai, ai, se eu te pego. Delícia, delícia, assim você me mata. Ai, se eu te pego, ai, ai, se eu te pego, seba.
Hey, 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 welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our website, stevemaraboli.com. EmpoweredLivingRadio.com has every single show we have ever done available 100% free. You find out our schedule, what we got going on, and anything else you want to know. It's also where you do instant feedback, participate with the show, ask questions, whatever you'd like, EmpoweredLivingRadio.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. We're on YouTube, we're on Pinterest, check it out. Everything we do is 100% free. The only thing that I ask is that you share. We've had some incredible shows, some seminars that are 100% free. 2 hours of me just yap, 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 and 100% free. I've had some incredible guests on, brilliant people who are shaping this world. Folks like Christina Rilo, she's been on 100% free. The only thing that I ask is that you share. We're on the same team and in this together. So share. If Christine says something that empowers you, that inspires you, tell people about Christina Rilo. Tell them about her books, about her website. Give links if you find other interviews. The point is to share. There's nothing more empowering you can do for somebody. Nothing more you can nourish their soul and their mind with than sharing of inspirational and empowering information. So get on there, empoweredlivingradio.com, and share, share, share. So we're having a great conversation with Christina Rilo. She's a best-selling author. She's the author of Choosing Me Before We, she and our buddy Amy Ayler. Also, Amy's going to be on Monday, by the way. They co-found the Inner Mean Girl Reform School. So it's a school dedicated to transforming people's inner critics into their inner super heroines. So make sure you check out innermeangirl.com and chooseselflove.com. We're going to speak some more with Christine. You know, Christine, I wanted to ask you, after you wrote Choosing Me Before We, that space, that time between writing that and getting this Inner Mean Girl and really creating what the Inner Mean Girl concept, how did your views shift and change, not only about life itself, but about the industry you're in? How did your views shift on that?
So I'm gonna tell you a very personal story that I actually haven't really told in public yet, although I just wrote it in an anthology that's coming out at the end of this year, and so I think I'm going to be telling it a lot more. So I'm going to share it because I think it says everything. So after Choose Me, before we came out, which was February 13th, 2009, and that was the official day of self-love. So February 13th is actually a holiday. That is the International Day of Self-Love. Put it on your calendar. And I launched the holiday that year. And that began my kind of whirlwind tour around the country, going to do book events and getting on the media. And it was the first time I'd ever done any media, so I was going to lots of different cities doing media and doing book events. And I was spending a fair amount of money because, you know, publishers don't pay but I was told, look, I need to have media, I need to have a reel, I need to do these things. So I was doing that, and I was, at the time, I was coaching, and I was probably spending about 50% of my time on my life work, my great work, which is the things that I do now, you know, intermingle reform school, all my classes, coaching, et cetera. And about 50% was still doing consulting for corporate America. It was my bridge job. And what I, you know, because I needed something to pay for all this stuff that I was doing, right? Because it's not inexpensive to fly around. So I was basically working like three jobs, right? I'm working my coaching job, I'm working my media job, I'm working my corporate job. And I had a really good time at first. It was really exciting. I had never done it before. And then it started to get tiring. But I'm like, I have to keep going because, you know, I have to sell more books. I have to sell more books. I have to sell more books. And books don't make money, right, on their own. I mean, you know, I get a dollar for every book I sell. And I still, you know, I've sold almost 20,000 copies of my book. And I'll tell you, I spent more than $20,000 on that media tour. And so I was in this, like, spin, Steve, where I was like trying, it was almost like I was in a hole trying to get out of the hole because I had invested all this money and I was trying to make all this money and I was trying to get myself, you know, to just have that tipping point, like, you know, just like that break that would come along. And so I was working 50, 60 hours a week. I was spending all this money. And the last trip I took, I remember it was August that year. So I'd been on the road for 6 months and I left my house and my dog and my husband and my sunflowers I had planted to go on a 3-week tour to Texas. And I got to Texas. I remember before I left, Noah said, it's my husband, he said to me, are you sure you want to do this? It's like, it actually was 2 weeks. 2 weeks of your time. It's going to cost us $2,500 for you to go. Is this really how you want to spend your time? And I'm like, yes, I have to do it. I have to do it. I have to do it. My publicist, all this stuff, it's all set up for me. Because my achievement junkie was like, are you kidding me? You have to do this. You know, Barbara Belinda was like, you haven't gotten the bar yet, Christine. You better get there, you know. And then, you know, Patty was like, look at all these other people. Their books are bestsellers right off the bat. Right. What's wrong with you, right? So I get to Dallas, and I do the first television interview, and I'm on this, like, you know, ABC TV dealio, and this woman that's interviewing me, super nice woman named Paige, really wonderful, but she's interviewing me about, like, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. And state of their relationship for 3 minutes. And I remember leaving that interview and being like, that was so unsatisfying. A, why am I talking about Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie? Who cares? Leave these people alone. Like, leave them alone. I'm going to really change anyone's life. And I just felt really like, ugh. And then I go to the book signing, and one person shows up. And then I drive 3 hours to have this meeting with this person that my publicist sets me up with, that is a total waste of my time. And so I get back to the hotel room, and this is the part I've not shared in public yet. And no one's there, right? I'm by myself. It's hot. It's Dallas. It's the hotel. There's air conditioning. And I go into the bathroom, and I put the toilet seat down, and I sit on the toilet, and I put my hand in my head, and I just start to sob. And I had what I now call the superwoman sob.
Right.
Where I realized that I was trying so hard, to make it happen, so hard to do and be and have everything that I knew that I could. I was trying so hard that I believed so much in this message, you know, that I wanted to get it out there. And here I was with my husband basically texting me pictures of my sunflowers,
Right.
My dog, who is like my child, you know, was last year of her life. And I am in a city that's 100 gazillion degrees in a hotel room by myself, not making the money I need to make, not having the joy I need to make, and not even having the impact I want to make. And I was like, what is going on? And that's when I realized, me, teacher of self-love, that I was so being run by these masculine do-it-all. Not, and masculine's not bad. It was like the over. It was the over masculine. Yeah. It was the man powers that were like out of control. You know, like
right.
I will just go be Superman. I will make this happen. I was not using any of my feminine energy at all. I turned it off.
Right.
And I was in the beginning stages. I was actually a month after I got home. I started training in what I call feminine superpower school with an amazing spiritual teacher who's not, you'll never find her on an Amazon list because she doesn't do that. She's like one of those deep woods spiritual teachers.
Right.
And I'm an apprentice with her for 13 months, and I am still an apprentice to her. And what I learned was, and this is true for so many women and so many men too, we don't use the feminine. I wasn't using my power of receiving because I was pushing. I wasn't using my power of intuition, which told me, don't get on that airplane and go spend $2,500 in 2 weeks of your time in Dallas. I was listening to the voice of my fear because I didn't have,
right.
I wasn't connected to my inner wisdom and my intuition. And I certainly wasn't using my feminine superpower of compassion, which was saying, Christine, you know what? You've done enough. You spent six
right.
months doing all you could. It's time to do something else. Hey, what? You know what? Congratulate yourself.
Yeah.
You just sold, you know, 8,000 books in 6 weeks, in 6 months. That's really good.
That's incredible. And what happens is that's also a product of social conditioning and everything else, what you're talking about, because really what you were doing, Christine, was you were the inner critic and the one pushing you and all these things you're chasing around. And really what you were doing was an impossible task. You were trying to be something you already were. You're trying to be successful, but you already were. You're trying to be immeasurably powerful, but you already were. And that's a rut that so many people fall into. It's like looking for fire with a lighted torch. Like you're trying to be what in fact you already are. And I'm glad you shared the sobbing story, because the reason I had asked is having read Choosing Me Before We, and seeing the work that you're doing now and the way that you approach it, I knew, as a student of humanity, I know the greatest messages come out of the greatest messes. Somewhere in there was a mess, and that's exactly it. And I love the approach you take. I love the empowered approach you take, and especially I know that you do for dudes as well. But I love the fact that you tackle this and empower women, because you know from the second women are born, the second they can cognitively recognize TV and radio, they are being told they are not good enough. You are not blonde enough. Your boobs aren't big enough. You're not tall enough. This is why your wedding dress sucks and this one's better. And you walk into any bookstore and the whole magazine rack is filled with why you are not good enough. And I think that's very, very important for our entire society, that folks like you are doing what you're doing, the true empowerment of the feminine.
It is, and it's our job as women and men to shift this right now. You know, this is the call. I just had an opportunity to have lunch with Gloria Steinem, who's you know, one of the foremost feminists in the 60s and the 70s. And I asked her, and the founder of Ms. Magazine, and just a tremendous woman, and I said, Gloria, can you help me understand how it is that all of us women especially got this message, you can do and be and have anything you want, but we feel pressured to do and be and have it all. How did this happen? Because we're all running around trying to be superwoman. And
right.
She shook her head, right? And, you know, and as men, like, you know, my partner Noah, he has to deal with this. So it's
right.
just like the men don't get to escape this, right? Or for those of you, for men with their mothers or their daughters, like, it's so important to understand what's going on in our psyche. And what she said to me is, she said, Christine, that was never the message. I've been talking about not trying to be superwoman for a gazillion of years, you know, for 25, 30 years. The message was, you have to make choices. You have to make choices. You can't be the greatest mother, the greatest CEO, the greatest best friend, the greatest wife, but you know, the skinny bikini body, and you know, all of those things. You can't. It's impossible. And so we're all racing towards this impossible standard that, you are exactly right, Steve, the media totally propagates. There's a woman named Jean Kilborn. She made a movie called Killing Us Softly. And mm-hmm. she studied the media for 25 years and the impact that it has. And she had been able to prove two things. Number one, that the core message in advertising is you're not enough.
Right.
And number two, 93% of all the messages go into our subconscious. So even
Absolutely.
For those who fancy ourselves, like, oh, I'm a very smart person. I won't,
right.
you know, I won't be, you know, oh yeah, you are. Oh yeah, I am. And so that what I found, Steve, just to answer your question, is that some of the most successful people are the hardest on themselves.
Sure.
And even in the industry of self-help and self-empowerment and all of that, we're not immune to all this
right.
stuff. And if you are working with a spiritual teacher, a mentor, a coach, and she tells you she doesn't have this thing going on or he doesn't, they are a liar. Because
Absolutely.
I still have Mean Girls. They're still there. The difference is that I've actually given them new jobs. So that most of the time, 90% of the time, they're doing their other job. And this is what we do at Inner Mean Girl Reform School. We actually help you identify the inner mean girl, give her a name, understand there's 17 different types of inner mean girls, categorize her, understand her, figure out what her powers are, and then use them for good versus evil.
Yeah, and I absolutely love that you're doing it, and I'm so glad that we've got you on today. Before you go, I wanted you to tell me, first I want to congratulate you on Daring Adventure to becoming your own best friend, and I just want to, can you just tell us about it a little bit?
Yes, this fall my new book comes out. It's called Madly in Love with Me, The Daring Adventure to Becoming Your Own Best Friend. And one of the reason I wrote this book is because once I can get people to be like, okay, loving yourself, good idea, okay, thumbs up, you know, and believe me, there are a lot of people that are like, ah, I don't know, loving yourself sounds like masturbation.
Right.
Stop it. And I'm like, okay, let's back up, people. But for those of you out there, they really like, get self-love's a good idea. So the next question is, like, how do I do that? You know, it's kind of like this elusive thing. And, ooh, it sounds good. But what I've been able to identify and understand myself through my 10-year journey and that the universe has really given me is a construct that actually I haven't seen anyone talk about this way. It feels like it's a whole new way of understanding self-love. And I think of self-love as a tree. And the whole tree has 10 branches. And there's the branch of self-esteem. There's a branch of self-compassion. There's a branch of self-acceptance. And so you can have some of those branches will be very strong. So you can be a woman with or a man with great self-esteem, but if you don't have self-compassion, you're a high achiever, achievement junkie who's always hard on themselves. And so what this book does is it goes into each of the 10 branches, and it helps you actually identify where you're strong at and where you need to grow your self-love. And that comes out this fall, and then I'll be going on another tour in February, Steve. I'm super excited to cities all around the world launching on Self-Love Day on the 13th. But this way, time, I'm doing it from the balance of my manpower and my feminine power and doing it in a way that brings me joy versus superwoman sobs. So that's coming up with that. And then the summer is the summer of self-love, and that's I do one every year. And this year, it's Amy Ehlers and I. We are sending all Inner Mean Girls summer camp for anyone who's ready to transform their Inner Mean Girls. And we're doing a series of telejams this June. We're doing three of them, two on the 27th and one on the 30th, one for moms, one for entrepreneurs, and one just for anyone who's like, I got to reform my Inner Mean Girl. She's all up in my business, my body, you name it. And you can go to innermeangirl.com. To learn more about that.
Oh, that's awesome. Christine, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I think that the way that you approach the work that you do is empowering. As a student of the industry, I enjoy watching what you're doing. I love how you build these gauges, and you in many ways are building them for yourself, and they're effective for you, and that's why they're so effective on the people. You're not an expert at being an expert. You, in fact, are writing out of your experiences, and it's something that I loved about your work the first time we spoke, and it's something I continue to love about your work. Please know that if you come towards New York on your tour, that I would love to get together with you and speak some more. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your insight and wisdom with our listeners.
Thank you. So you can bet I will be in New York. I was there this last year. I will be back. And if I could just let everyone know, if you do want more information on that piece and you want, I have a whole self-love kit. You can go to chooseselflove.com and get that for free. And then know when I'm coming to New York. Steve, maybe you'll come and be my guest at one of the events.
I would love to. It would be so much fun. And thank you again so much for coming on
Thanks,
the show.
Steve.
Folks, that brilliant woman was Christina Rylo. The website she gave out is innermeangirl.com. That's innermeangirl.com. And ChooseSelfLove.com. It's ChooseSelfLove.com. Her book is Choosing Me Before We. The next one, Madly in Love With Me, comes out this fall. How awesome is she? She's fantastic. And her name, Amy Ehlers. So we had Amy Ehlers on a couple months ago, maybe. And you all remember her. So imagine the two of them in one place. Can you imagine? That's like an empowered woman spiritual snack. Like, it's incredible. I can only imagine. So make sure you check out those websites if you're interested in participating with that. And these are the type of authors that we love to support, women who are out there doing it. And again, someone like Christine, with the story she shared with you is not a story you're going to hear. It's probably not unique to her in this industry, in this self-help industry. However, most of the gurus would never share that story with you. They would never say, I went on a tour and it flopped and I cried. They would never. They want you to believe that they go everywhere they go. It's the masses. You got to keep the masses. That is real. That is a real story from a real woman who has some real techniques and toolbox to help you get out of your own way, to help you take control of that inner dialogue. And I love, love, love supporting women like that. I love the real deal. Christina Rylo is the real deal. So check out innermeangirl.com and chooseselflove.com. Folks, it's a beautiful Friday. Get out there and participate in your day. Don't, if you're saying same crap, different day, that is a devastating lie you are telling yourself. It is absolutely true that today is a day you have never seen before. It is a day that you're never going to see again. Get out there and participate and make this day count. What are you waiting for? Why on earth would you throw away another day? You have it within you to change your life. You have that dream, take a step towards it. You have that goal, take a step towards it. Just know while you're doing that, as I was explaining in the beginning of the show and Christina Rylo brilliantly explained in the middle of the show, you're always going to have that talk. It's whether it's going to drive you or you're going to give it something to do. If you're going to let it be a gauge or let it be a bully, these are the choices you make. And you make those choices based on your understanding that it's okay that you doubt yourself. It's okay that these things exist. They exist for psychological reasons and neuroscientific reasons, genetic reasons. They all exist for that reason. The question is, are you going to be empowered enough to say, be my gauge. Be my gauge, not my bully. Get out there, folks. Today's a brand new day. Today is a day that is a sentence. It's just a sentence in the story of life, but it is a sentence. How you live this day will decide whether you end that sentence in a period, an exclamation point, or a question mark. Make it count. Make the sentence in your story count. Get out there and participate. You're listening to Empowered Living. Check out stevemaraboli.com, empoweredlivingradio.com. Check us out on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter. And no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're going through, today's a brand new day, no matter what. This New Yorker loved you. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. See you next time.
Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.